Over 1/3 of the people of the world speaks that. Not English, but Mandarin. You would think they would write the scriptures in Mandarin. They don't have many scriptures in Mandarin Chinese. Truth. Truth. Sure, don't think that that race was not represented that day. Someone spoke in Mandarin Chinese, all right. They spoke that. Now, English, that's a new evolved language. That's why it has taken control. It is the language of Babylonianism. It's a language that's usurping and stealing and robbing. You must speak my language. You must. There were men from Asia, from Phrygia. They were from Phrygia, from Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene. Look at this now. And strangers now, Rome. Just strangers, folks just intermingling. Folks who want to know, what is this about? I want to see this thing. I've heard of this great thing. And I'll sell the ocean just to get a historical part on this thing they call a Shavuot. I want to find out what it is. So there were strangers there. It's good to read scripture, saints. It's good to read each word. It says, strangers of Rome, your dim and proselytes. Had no knowledge of what this was about. They had been proselyted. They had been converted. It says, creeds, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful words of who? I know it says God's in the KJV. It said the wonderful work of Yahweh. They heard them speak. They heard them in their language. 120? I believe there were 120 nations established there. These latter nations that have been established, they've been nations that have been balkanized within a nation that broke off, established their own little nation. That's all that is. It is what they call balkanization. You understand what a balkanizing is? When you balkanize something, you have a people in America. You have the Chinese, you have the Caribbeans, you have the folks from Jamaica, you have those from Bahama. Yet their skins are the same color. You have the Irish, you have the Germans, you have the Scottish. The skin complexion is the same color, isn't it? Is it not? And so what you have, what they call a balkanization, is that all the Jamaicans get together and say, we become balkanized. We balk ourselves together against the Haitians. And the Haitians balkanize, and they speak in their circle, their language, and their dialect. The Jamaican speaks theirs, and the Irish speaks theirs, and the German speaks theirs, and they all become balkanized. And so what you have had over the centuries, the balkanization within nations, and little nations have rose up and broke off with just a group of people. Some of these nations are so small, it's a shame. It's pathetic. It is pathetic. Pathetic. And they may speak the same language of the mainland. Different little dialect. Same principal language. But they become balkanized. A balkanization. And they bulk up and they have their own little country. It's wrong. And that's what you have in America. You go to a city like New York, you have a balkanization. You can see it very vividly. You can see it in Charlotte. You got those in the hood, they live in the hood on one side. You got the suburbanites, they live in the suburbs. You got the middle class, they live there. You got the black middle class, they live there. You got the Caucasian, the upper crescent, they live there. You got the bourgeoisie, and the bourgeois live in their own neighborhood. Now that is the truth, what I'm saying. And so they all heard the wonderful works, the wonderful works, the wonderful works of Almighty Yahweh. No metaphorism. There was no metaphorism there. No metaphors. No metaphors. He knew in every language. The metaphorism. The metaphors. He did not speak with metaphors. He spoke the wonderful works of his power in that great manifestation of Messiah. And they heard it. And they heard it. They heard it. Spirit was not given for this frivolity today that we call the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit, saint. The Spirit leads us into all truth. It does. You don't have to understand a man's language. But the Spirit, it searches out the spiritual things. It doesn't search out the natural things. We that are carnal and natural, we do the things of the flesh. A man that is spiritual, he does the things of the Spirit. When a man truly has the Spirit, he will speak in that language. And so that's why we have the mess we have today, because of the metaphorism. They try to translate something, and you just can't equate nothing with that. If that language to Yahweh, that's why his name can never change. It's Yahweh. His son's name is not this pagan lie, Jesus. It's a pagan damnable lie. But if I come to the knowledge that he rejected, will I just love Jesus? You don't even love that. You did, you will do what he said. He told you, if any man loves son, daughter, mom, anybody more than he loves you, you cannot even be his disciple. So you don't even believe that. You call him Jesus. The folks don't even believe that. And that is the truth. His name is the same. And so you can go to any of those nations. They heard his name. And they all knew it too. I will show you how they knew it. That's why they went and sold everything. That's why they went, and these folks in the herd, they said, man, this is the truth. We know this is the truth. We've heard of Zeus. They heard of Pelia and all the gods. They heard of Moloch, Mocom, Bildad. They've heard all of Beelzebub. But this mighty name here, we've heard of that one that smote the Egyptians and destroyed them. But now it is real. I can see the reality of it. It went beyond the flesh. It penetrated the heart. They bowed the knees of their hearts. That's where it ended, the end of the heart. It was not just a phrase, a phraseology. It was a spirit that penetrated the veneer of their flesh. They had come there every year in their rituals and their religious practices. But this year was a different year. This year wasn't like the other years. They performed their little offerings, their little creeds, and they did their little fellowship and all that. And you always say, no, not this year. You're going to hear the power of my works, and you shall know. And you shall take that word to your country, and it shall burn like a fire in your soul. This trash today is nothing. Don't tell me. I don't want to be a part of this right here. I don't want to identify with some trash like that. His telegenic look, that he's handsome, he's good looking. And that's why the women are flocking. And these effeminate men, they're flocking behind him. And effeminate! So that's why he will fill that 25,000 sheep Colosseum up. Sure he will. Fill it up. Good bit of money there, $10 a shot, isn't it? Huh? So you figure 10 times 25 is what? 25,000. How many is that? That's a million what? Mill and a half. He's going to make the money. One day. One day. One day. It's going to him. And he's probably paying for that Colosseum. He'll probably pay for the rental. He'll probably pay $160,000, $200,000. He's going to pay that for it now. It's going to cost him that. Believe me, he is not renting that not knowing that he's going to reap. I'm not a mathematician, but I'm simple enough to understand that. So what is it going to cost? He's going to make that kind of money. He's telegenic. He's handsome. He's good looking. He's a prima donna. And they like that. Folks like that. Sure. If I was a clown, most folks would like me. If there wasn't left, they would never have left. Because if they could continue in their clownish ways. Yeah, I want to be a man that is devout. Sincere. I don't care what you think of me. It makes no difference. Don't even care if you like me. Period. I would declare the wonderful work. And the works of Yahweh. And that's what they did. They declared the wonderful work. They said, we heard them speak in our tongue the wonderful works. The KJV, it says God. But the wonderful works of Yahweh. And they were all amazed, saying, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meat is this? Why are we here? Why is this? Others mocking, saying, these men are full of wine. And then the power rose up in Jephar, Peter. He rose up and says, Peter standing up. And these men knew the scripture too. They knew what Joel said. Joel, they knew what he says. Joel, they knew what he said, all right. And so Kephar, he stood up with a profound utterance. He said with 11 now, just not him by himself, but he stood up with 11. And he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Yehuda, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you this day, and hark on. You better hear my words. For these are not drunken as Jesus was, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is which was spoken by the prophet Joiah. He spoke this in scripture, and they knew the scripture. That's why they were there. They knew it. He said it was spoken by him, by the prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. Who's speaking? Is Yahweh speaking? It is what Yahweh said. The prophecy came by the mouth of Yoiah, and he knew what the Father said. Joel knew exactly. He was a man led by the profound utterance or the unction of the Spirit of Yahweh. And he prophesied this by the Spirit of Yahweh. His heart was not just inspired, but this was the literal utterance of Yahweh to speak at. And so as the Spirit moved out of his mouth, as he spoke, as they did on the day of Pentecost, as they heard the wonderful works of Yahweh, he prophesied by the same anointing. Give me a preacher that will preach to me, Father. I don't care about the other stuff. I don't care about the frills. I want to know the truth. You tell me the truth. I just want to know the truth. I don't care if his complexion, care the color of his skin. I don't care about that. You know, many years ago, I recall reading an article when I worked at IBM. It was an article concerning those that expression of what we call, quote, the African Americans. What things or what characters or characteristics they look for in them when they want to promote. And first of all, it has to do a lot with skin color. Sure did. They didn't want, they're not the one with the extremely lighter skin. That wasn't the issue. They rather have someone with the copper colored skin. Blacks with copper colored skin. This is what was written. I didn't write it, all right? Skin that are copper colored. Not extremely fair skinned, but you know, in the middle there. Not too dark skinned. They didn't want that. They didn't want that. They have to have a certain weight proportion to body. They have to have a certain look. And they say with men that the men must be men that are perceived to be handsome men. They must have a look that is universally accepted. No, I didn't write the article. Someone else wrote it. And these are the characteristics they were looking for. You see, it's one thing that Yahweh didn't find anything in us worth anything at all. There was nothing in you that was worth anything. Your trashy white skin or your trashy black skin. Your trashy brown skin, it meant nothing at all to Yahweh. He's not invested in the complexion of your skin. He's invested in his Son and the work of the Son. And we understand that. We don't understand that. It's not Jesus he's invested in. He's invested in his name. His name. Yahweh, his name must be restored to the validity of the power. He did that. He did it. He raised Pharaoh up for one thing. You say what you want to. He raised him up for one purpose. He gave him the power of the kingdom. He allowed Israel to go in there to become subject and bondage. And yet, there was a Pharaoh that came up, did not even know the ways of the Israelite, of Yosef. Didn't know them. And Yahweh said, this is the one I'm going to use. I'm going to give him great power. I'm going to raise his army up. You all here in this land, they're calling on every kind of God there is. Every kind of name, you've heard everything. And don't tell me, I'm going to preach that one day, the sixth chapter of the book of Exodus. And I will show you from chapter 1 to 6, they knew Yahweh. Scripture tells us in Genesis 3:26, when they began to call upon his name. Don't tell me they didn't know his name. And Yahweh said, for this purpose, I'll raise you up for one purpose, to get honor, to make my name known, that the Philistines and the heathens, when Israel go through the land, they will know that this is the seed of Yahweh, not some god. There's too many gods. There's only one mighty one. And his name is Yahweh. Self-existing. He has no beginning. Don't try to figure that one out. It takes faith to understand it. And with faith, you still don't understand it. You just receive it. You receive it. I look at this text and I see things that what the world will call contradictory. And if you read it, it's literally contradictory. And that's the truth. I search you too much. I don't say this to discourage you. That's why you better be led by the Spirit. You've been led by your Negroism and it hasn't worked. You've been led by your Caucasian, your white supremacy and it hasn't worked. None of it. You've been led by your ethnicity and it hasn't worked. There's only one thing. It is by the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. And it's not going to make you act like a monkey or a dog. It's going to make you act like the Son. And he didn't go around barking. Can you imagine what Messiah would look like if he went he looked like a fool, wouldn't he? And they would have said, Jonah, this is a mad thing. Demons. Sure they would have. And that trashy day is demonic. I'm bold enough to say it. These lying preachers say it's the Holy Ghost. I believe it's the Holy Ghost because I know where the word ghost comes from. You can say what you want to all your life. The word ghost has always been acquainted with something that is mystical or just corrupt. You say what you want to. Casper the Friendly Ghost. So they brought us down to a level of comfort with that. Sure they did. You ever heard of Casper the Friendly Ghost? You did, boy? I thought that was before your time, son. Casper the Friendly Ghost. So they dumbed us down and just made us all familiar and comfortable with that. Sure they did. Scooby-Doo-Doo. So ghosts really weren't, it had no connotation with something sweet and nice. It's not, saints. It's from the Sanskrit language. It is a word from the Hinduism. And they have many ghosts and many gods. They have 350 million gods. Or they may be under the heading of one of the three gods, but they still have 350 million in the context of them. They do, saints. And that's the truth. Yahweh declares that he is Ikad. Yes. One. He's arrogant. Yeah, he is one. Ain't no two, three. He just one. You find the Son in him. And in the Son, you find the Father. That's what it is. He shall preach to the Father, he will send another comforter. And the Spirit is the Father. They want to make their deities, but it's not so. The divination, the diviners. I don't want to be a diviner. I don't want to walk in divination. How can that word be characterized? The Spirit, Scripture talks about the men will use that spirit of divination, and we say that we're diviners for Yahweh. Can't be. No, it isn't. That's why I said we must learn the language of the Spirit. We have learned how to cuss well, to act like fools, to act like fruit heads. We've learned that all. I know I have. We've learned how to talk smart, to talk arrogant, to disregard one another. We've learned all that kind of language. Now we need to be deprogrammed and learn the language of the Spirit. You know how to hurt and how to cross one another. We have learned that well, haven't we? I know I have. Bless you, Father. She is by that confession that we're made free. I mean, we can't confess our faults and say we're that way. We can't never be made free. So I've learned those things quite well. I've learned how to get angry and to be moody quick, and I've learned how to truly love and to regard one another. I've learned that better than that. Sure. Say what you will. It says in verse 18, and all my servants and all my handmaids I will pour out in those days the Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders now. This is what he said, wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood now, before that great and notable day of Messiah's coming. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. He said, whosoever call upon my name. Why? How can you do that? You can't even come unto Messiah unless the Father draw you. And the only way you're going to call upon the name of the Father, you're going to know the witness of Messiah is the truth. You're going to know that Yahshua, the testimony of Yahshua, is the truth of the Father. You cannot even come unto Messiah. You cannot come to the knowledge or the strength of it unless Yahweh draw you unto it. He brings you unto that. You can't go, you can't discover that. That's why he say, enter at the straight and narrow gate. Not at the wide and broad, because there are many that go therein, but at the straight and the narrow, he said, what? Few that be that what? Find it. Only a few people find the profound truth of Yahweh. Few of them. For some reason we think it's going to be an abundance. Nah. Men like Mr. Osteen, he's taking care of his father's business. He teaches them lies and deception. He corrupts them from their birth up. Sure he does. That's the thing that has drawn the millions and the millions, multi-millions of dollars unto Crystal Cathedral out there. What's his name out there at Crystal Cathedral? Shuler. Mr. Shuler. He is seen on more television than any preacher in America. Robert Shuler. More than TBN? Anyone. Robert Shuler. And you always show the people the spirit of that whole place, that when the conductor of the orchestra, 26 years with him, barricaded into their tabernacle in that place there, withheld the police for about 8 hours and put the gun to his head and boom, blew his head. Killed himself. 2 weeks ago. And that's his message, is optimism. That's all he teaches, optimism. He will not tell sin. He will not You can be a pervert from hell and you'll be comforted there. They got programs to satisfy every component of your flesh. Everything you want, they got it. And that's what all these whorehouses, they're patterning themselves out after these kinds of whorehouses. That's why men like T.D. Jakes and men like that, they can come to cities and have their pastor seminar, and they will have thousands of men that will pay $100,000 to come to their little seminars and fellowship with them to be endowed with that spirit. I was looking the other day that T.D. Jakes is having a cruise to Alaska. Do you hear that? Where about those little boxes that you get on those cruises will cost people $6,000, $6,000. And the cheapest one is $2,500. They're going to take all that money. Women dressed like Jezebels. Men in their shorts. Little hot daughters in their bikinis. Don't tell me that's of Yahweh. Don't tell me Yahweh ordained that kind of trash. Your God does. Your God. Aphrodite. Aphrodisiac. And they're going to be filled with the aphrodisiacs. And so those men that have no stimulation, when they see them little naked gals in confinement with them, they're all fresh going to crawl like dogs, like beasts of the field. You tell me that's Yahweh? You tell me that's of Yahweh? Yahweh doesn't tell you to go on a cruise with no saints. He's telling us to get on the cruise ship. We're cruising on to Zion. Yeah, we're cruising to Zion, not on some cruise ship with little naked gals. That's what they're going to be like. They're going to be naked, their clothes off, they're going to have on bikinis, they're going to have on them the strings, man. You know, that's an abomination and a filth unto Almighty Yahweh. They're going to have on the hot pants, they're going to have their bellies out, they're going to have on the low cuts, and their breasts is going to be out. That is a filth, that's a sin, that's an abomination. It is unclean, it is vile, it is a stench in the nostril of any god. And that's what they're going to do. And that's what they promote in these days. We're looking at the wholeness of the people. That's not what Messiah said. We got to destroy the power of this flesh. You got to destroy the lust and the affection of your flesh and the spirit thereof. So he never told you to fulfill the very capacity of your flesh. It's not found in scripture. You got to kill it. And they call that he's one of the most prolific speakers in America. He is too. I believe that in America, but not in the kingdom, not the kingdom message. You're not going to find me in the kingdom message. Noah couldn't get but eight. Did he be the eighth person of them? Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham tried to bargain with Yahweh. Say, if we can find, Yahweh said, we got 10 in there, I'll save it. At least two more than what Noah couldn't find 10 in the whole house. And a Jezebel wife, she got upset because this thing you serve, he's bringing this fire down, honey, on my little playhouse. And I had to get my nails done on other day, and I messed that up. I had to get my back, my massage, and you messed that up. I'm going back. She went back too. She went back. She lost her savor. No taste in there. You sisters lose your head, your authority, the will to submit. You lose your savor. You have no sweetness to you. You say anything. You brothers, the same thing. You lose your head, you have no savor. You're just like salt with no savor, no taste to it. Who wants salt without any taste? No, I don't want no fake salt. I want salt if I want salt. If I want to taste some salt, I want salt. I don't want just like salt. I want salt. Salt! That's what I want. Yeah, we ought to be the salt of the earth, shouldn't we? You don't want no phony salt. You want salt. Let me conclude here. I want you to hear this. We need the spirit, saints. Yahweh confronts you with a man you've never seen in all your life. And he may speak in a language you never heard. Aramaic. It blesses my heart when I see the people come to our internet site. And they come from everywhere. Malta, Italy today. They come from everywhere over the world. I'm telling you, saints. They come from everywhere. And yet they know, even though, but they can't read. They understand the spirit. And they know what's there. And they come for one thing, because they know that there is only one name. And that name is the same in Italy, it's the same in Arabia. They come from Arabia, they come from Iran, they come from Iraq, they come from Germany, they come from Canada, they come from all over. And yet the name is the same wherever they come from. They look for one thing. I looked at a Chinese site the other day, and yet of all of the Chinese letters, I couldn't understand one thing. But there was one thing in the midst. His name, and it was written. And I said, that's it. Sure was. Couldn't read the lettering. But I knew it was his name. Hallelujah. I knew there was a spirit of one accord and oneness. You see, they were all in one accord. They had one purpose there. And the spirit was poured out. And then they began to speak the wonderful word. 120 nations. I believe that's what it was. I know we have more nations today. 120 nations. And they all heard the word of Yahweh. And they went back. And they spoke this profound truth. That's what they did. And because man has polluted this truth, Yahweh has to confound them so they can't take it any farther. We're going to hear the Melechim. He's going to go through the midst of the heavens and declare this last message that should be declared. We better get right, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Not the kingdom of the Lord now. The lords of Britain got their kingdom. The lords all over the world got their kingdom. The Lord of the Philistines, there's only one kingdom. And that's the kingdom of Yahweh. And his name is going to resonate in the kingdom. I don't want to go to a kingdom where I don't know the one who made the kingdom. That's crazy. That's too mystical to me. I want to know his name. And he has a name. I know what I preach makes sense, saints. I know what I do preach makes sense. I said to Deacon Billy yesterday as we were talking. Deacon Billy or someone, Elder Martin, I can't recall. I said, I don't, Brother Jermaine, last night we were talking. I said, I pray Yahweh give me something to preach today. I don't know what he's going to give me, but whatever it is, I'll just go with that. Because I really had nothing. Don't have anything to preach. I can rely upon David. And I don't rely upon him. I can't choreograph something. I can't do it. I can't lay out me no message and then go over it three or four times and say this the way I did. I can't do that. Hallelujah. They did not choreograph that. They just began to speak. As the Spirit gave them utter, they began to speak. You heard what Jerusalemako Yeshanabara. He knew exactly it was him. His language, Parthians, Medes. He knew it was his language. The man of Cyrene. He knew it was his language. Every last one of them knew it was his language. Not this foolishness. We've been taught by the tradition of man. It's corrupted the assembly. That's why we have not gone any further. Say what you want to. There was a mighty work on that day. They spoke a word that has never been done before. We've seen the power of the Spirit coming away that you've never seen it before. Say what you will. I don't care what they say about Azusa Street. It was never done like this. Never. None of this power. That Azusa Street, if that's what we say came out of it, to these, all these Pentecostal whores, it corrupted everything. It corrupted, say what you will. It corrupted everything. It corrupted everything. It corrupted everything. That didn't corrupt anyone. And when they found corruption, it was rooted out. Adonai and Shafar, they lied. It was corrupted. These doctrines are based and predicated upon a lie and deceit. First thing Yahweh did, he rooted it out. No, you haven't lied unto man. You spoke evil against Yahweh, his spirit. First thing they did, rooted it out. And he caused fear in the hearts of men that were there. And that's what Yahweh intends to do by his spirit. He's going to raise up men. I may not be one, but he's going to raise you all up. Young men that will carry the banner of his truth. Hallelujah. Not some whole house. Not just looking, that's right, son. Hallelujah. Not just looking for some little place to shade their preacher. I preached on Sunday. I wouldn't want to preach in their whole houses. I wouldn't go to the dog dens. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I wouldn't go farther. He went on to tell those men, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Messiah, Yahshua Messiah, man approved of Yahweh among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which Yahweh did by him. Who did that by him? Yahweh did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of Yahweh, see the Father. I know it says God in the KJV, but it's Yahweh. Ye have taken by wicked hands and destroyer or kill on the stake, whom Yahweh hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should hold him down, or he should be holding of it. Isn't that something says? Because men will say, well, I know that God raised up Jesus. Well, who is the one that raised him up? And they say, well, that was his name in the Old Testament. You tell me he raised him up in when? The New Covenant? Was Messiah raised in the New Covenant? Was Messiah raised in the New Covenant? Is that not the seal of the New Covenant? Well, I want to know the one that raised him up, the hope of the New Covenant, the one that raised him up. I want to know his name then. That's how ignorant they talk and how ignorant they are. They're ignorant. They're willingly ignorant. This is a generation that is willing to be ignorant. They don't want to acknowledge truth. They're willingly ignorant. They're willingly ignorant. They're willingly. They want to be ignorant. They're willingly ignorant. Now the same one raised up Messiah in the new covenant. You say, well, that was his name in the old. Well, they knew the one that raised him up. His name hasn't changed. As far as the change in India. It's the same in India. That's what Pastor Babu can write me in that name. That's why. In that same name. That's why a young brother over there from India wrote that letter. He can write me in that name. It's only one name. Only one. The name Jesus is a different name in every language. How could they? No, there's only one name. And they knew it was called your Messiah. When they all heard that, they, whoa. I guarantee that, whoa. That's him. Got to be. Whoo. They know what they're saying? Because they're using that name. Sure it is. Everybody love the name Jesus. Every pagan, every devil. Sure they do. That's why they're all celebrating their pagan day today. Let me read something quickly, saints. A few scriptures. Pray Yahweh bless your hearts today. I really do. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be honest with you, saints. I do. And I'm not going to hold anything back. Some of you all may, your little feelings may get hurt, but I don't care about that. I don't care about your feelings. That's going to be the thing to take more folks to hell than anything they're feeling. I don't like because you said that. Then show me in scripture. All I say, show me in scriptures. Isn't that something? Because people will question me, and those question me. They have questioned me because I preach in this truth in this name. And yet they will go on to some Jezebel, some fool, and go out there and say, I want to ask you a question. What is the name of the Father? And see how they will answer. Then if that's his name, why don't we, did you ever use it? They won't ask him that. Why? Because they're looking for somebody to appease them. They don't want to know the truth. Well, that's a name. Well, that's a, well, you know, that's a pagan name. That's lies. And yet they will question me, but yet they will not go out there and question the one that denies the name, that denies the truth, that denies the commandment of Yahweh too. They won't question them because they're not looking for a pure answer. From me, they're going to get a pure answer and a righteous answer. Because it's going to cut down into your soul. Because His word is sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. Because I'm going to cut your wicked heart and show you your sins. He's not going to do that. Of course, she is never going to do that. Well, honey, you know, we just, you know, Lord and God, they're liars. They're titles. How can it be a name? It's not a name. It's a title. Little Michael, he knows that's his father. His father has a name. His name is Randy. He's our father, but he has a name. And it's a beautiful name, too. I like it. I like hearing it. I like talking about it. And I sure like preaching in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like preaching in that name. Man, I set my soul on fire, my feet too. Set them on fire. No, I'm not going to interchange it with Jesus the Lord. It can't be. Only one. One name. My name is what? David. That's my name. Not Billy. Not Paul. Not James. Well, in Hispanic, it would be Dayuri. Now, it's David. It's an English name. His name is a Hebraic. He spoke to Hebraic people. And that was the only way he could translate it to them. Your lie. No other way. Couldn't come as Lord. Because there was lords before Messiah ever came, there were lords. You ever heard of what they call before the common era, or what they say before Christ? They say before the common era and then after the common era. Huh? See, after the common era began with the birth of Messiah. Do you understand that? So there were lords, there were fellows, there were all kinds of lords and gods before he ever came. Sure it was. Sure it was. There were lords. Lords of the Philistines, lords of the Amorites. They were there. Hallelujah. But there was never, do you hear me? There was never a Messiah. Never an anointed one of Yahweh. Never. He is the one. He can't be a Christ or can't be a Christ. Because it simply means one that is perfume. One that has the fragrance. When you search the root word of that word Christ, I've done it. I know what it means. Hallelujah. I know exactly what it means. I search it out. And the variation of meaning, saints. So many different meanings. How can Messiah be associated with that? Do you good. Study what I tell you to study. You just prove me right. You prove me right, then rejoice in that. That's all I want you to do. Prove me right. I don't mind. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to say anything off the cuff because I heard someone say it. Yeah, hallelujah. All right. I'm going to say it because they spoke that way that day by the Spirit. We need men today that are Spirit-filled with fire and power, with fire. That the word of Yahweh burn in their souls. When they speak, it burns in the hearts of men. As far as Messiah says, that they're going to bring you before all kinds of councils. And every kind of wicked thing there, they're going to do it because of the name. He said, don't worry about what you need to say. He said, when the very hour that the Spirit of Yahweh, it will speak. It will speak. What man can defy the Father? No man. When Moshe said, I stutter. I can't talk. He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the mouthpiece. What I'm looking for is willingness and obedience. And in that, my will be done and the power of it will be manifest. That's what he's looking for my people today. For my people today is a willing heart and an obedience. That's what he wants, your willing heart and you being obedient unto him. That's what he's looking for. Can't hardly find it today. Going mama's way. Mama's way take you to hell. I'm going Yahweh's way. I'm not going mama's way. I'm not going daddy's way. I'm going the way that Yahweh called me to go. And that's the way I'm going. No other way. It's one thing that Timotheus said, as Shaul wrote him, he said, it says in 1 Timothy, he said, that the Spirit speaketh expressly. Did he say that? Now we must hear the expression of the Spirit in this hour. We've heard man, his philosophizing, his eloquent speech. Why do you think a man like that is going to close up, it's going to crowd a place out? It won't be standing room there. I'm telling you, Satan, it won't be standing room when this man comes to Charlotte. Men like that don't make no trip like this for 10,000 people. He's not coming here to Charlotte for 5,000 people. He's not renting the Coliseum for 5,000 people. It's a 25,000 capacity arena. He wants 25,000 there. And there are literally hundreds of whorehouses in this area that will cooperate with him and bring their little parishioners, as they call them, and they will spend their $10. He's going to need folks to chaperone for him and people to attend the aisles and all of that. And of course, the city of Charlotte is going to make their money off the parking. He's going to have to pay a set fee. And then they're going to have every concession stand it is open up with their pork rinds and their pork bellies and their unclean foods and their pork dogs and all of that. And they're going to buy like hogs. And the only reason they won't sell a little beer there because of whom he is. If it wasn't for that, they'll sell the beer too. Sure they would. Let him call me and say, you come and prepare the way for me. I sure will. When I finish, you're going to have an empty house. Maybe the little folks I take with me. You won't have nobody here. You're going to be in trouble when you have to pay this bill. You want to give me an offering? He's not going to do that. Sure he's not. I want to feed you all the true saints. That's what Yahweh wants for you above all things. He wants you to know the true saints. Let me read this account in Genesis chapter 11. Very right. I'll read this. Genesis 11 verse 7. I'm not going to read the entirety of it. I want to read this. It says, when Yahweh began to see the works that were being done by Nimrod, it says, go, Bereshit 11:7, go to, let us go down and there confound their language. You see, that's singular, isn't it? So we're going to confound their language now, their language. That they may not understand one another's speech. Now the Spirit of Yahweh did not confound the language. Every man heard the speech and he understood the language in his own language, didn't he? Why? Because there was a building process that was taking place from that moment forward. That was a building process. Yahweh had to tear some. He was showing us right here in the dismantling of this force of hell. Because they would have found their God. They were looking. And if Yahweh did defy man, why do you think they build these large monuments in these cities? Why do you think they're going to build something taller than the Twin Towers? They're trying to expand into the heavens to find their gods. Why do you think they spend billions of dollars in a place like Russia and America? They have the cosmonauts and the astronauts out there for months and they spend billions and billions out in space. And they still find nothing. They can't find him there. There's only one place he's going to be found. And by the Spirit. In truth. You're not going to find any truth out there. No, they ain't going to find anything. What they find, they pollute it, they corrupt it, they change it. It says in verse 8 of the same chapter, so Yahweh scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. That's what it says. They were from every nation. No, Pentecost wasn't. Shame was that he scattered. From all the earth, and they left off to build the cities. Now that's why he scattered them. He's not going to let this wicked generation build their city. Why? Do you know why? You know why he's not going to let them build their city? That's why they're always building cities. But you know why he's not going to let them build cities? Because he's built a city. And no city is going to rival his city. For we wait for the heavenly Jerusalem. He has a city. I look for the city whose build and make is Almighty Yahweh. He's not going to let their whorehouses. That's why they light them up and build their magnificent towers. He's not going to let them do it. He won't let them do it. Because he has a place that is filled with grandeur. Why? Because he's going to be the light of it. He's going to be the talk of it. He's going to be the one that esteemed in the whole place. Even Messiah, when all things is done, he's going to say, Father, here it is. And I believe he shall take upon basically then the same name as the Father. I believe that. Now, scripture doesn't say that, but I know his name. I believe he will. Because all things then on it will be complete. He said it was finished when he died. Then it will be complete. Everything. Everything unto the Father. Everything. Everything. And that name is going to be the name that resonates throughout the kingdom forever. Yahweh. Can you imagine that? I don't know how many people go into the kingdom, but everyone has a name that is different, but it honors him. Jeremiah. Ezekiel. Obadiah. All the names exalted the Father. Every name. And so what these pagans have done in the Greek, no scripture was written in Greek. All of it was written in Hebraic tongue. They are translated, the Septuagint and all of that. They're liars. None. They couldn't write it. There were men that were sincere in their efforts, the Matthias and the Bartholomews. They didn't speak that language. They say what they want to. It was written in the Aramaic tongue, Paleo, Hebraic. That's what it was written in. Stole with the lies of the Greeks. Because they always wanted to be the center of all attraction and all attention. The Greek culture has always been the center of all attraction. Everything almost ruminates from them. It's not so. It's the truth. Take it up with the Father. Hallelujah. I give you plenty to study and plenty to search out. You know, I started to bring some scriptures over here to show you all today. But it would have probably blown some of you off mind. I wouldn't do it. I was up this morning. I was looking at some scriptures and some texts. I said, this is too much. I can't put that much on the people. I can bear it right now. I can bear it. But I don't want to put those kinds of things somewhere down the line. Shaul says that my desire really is to feed you with carnal things now. No, spiritual things. Spiritual things. That's what he said. For what reason? Why did he want to do that? For one reason. That ye may be established to the end. That's the only thing that's going to establish you. Spiritual things. He said, that's why I want to feed you, that so you may be established to the end. But what do you think I want to do, since destroy? I want to establish you to the end. We have a great battle. The stress we walked in, it hasn't established us to the end. It is the truth. And that is the truth. So he confounded the language that they left off building the city, that they could not continue in that way. So he's actually confounded this religious whore because she has brought the masses of the people under this umbrella of this lie. And they're not preaching against sin today, saints. These men like this are the movers and shakers of Christendom today. They preach a message of optimism. There's no pessimism in their kingdom. You can say what you want to, even down to the local levels, men like Robin Gould and Charlotte and all of those men. They preach a message that is full of optimism. I'm not talking about the kingdom optimism. I'm talking about the sensual and the earthly, to be rich and to have much. I preach you the truth, and the only thing in truth is optimism. That's the only thing in truth is optimism. I'm glad I have the optimism and know the truth that I'm not going to go into the eternal darkness of hell. That's optimism to me. Sure it is. And that's what truth does. Truth tells you who you are. And explain where you are. And where you're going to. And so they feed them a lie. That is carnal. They offer them the same thing that Shatan offered Messiah. He knew who he was. That's why I say, now come on, you say you who you are. I know who you are. Take the stones. Show me you can do it. You want me to do it? You think those little few words in the KJV are the only words to transpire between that great battle? No, saints. He said, come on, you want to see me? I can do it. How do I know? Because scripture tells me he's going to do some great feats. That if it was possible, he's going to deceive the very elect. He's going to cause fire to come down. Great miracles in the heavens and the earth. And the scripture said that Yahweh, in that day, Pentecost, there were great signs in the heavens and in the earth. He's going to do the same thing. He said, you want to watch me do it? Come on, baby boy. I can do it now. Come on. Show me. Come on. He didn't look like some little old broken down snake either. He said, come on, look at this. Maybe a little tarnished, but look at it. Look at that thing you're in. Look at that. Come on. Look at you. Look at this. Come on, look at it. I'm here. That's what he did. It's a great battle. It's a tremendous battle. It's a tremendous battle. And that was the only way he persevered. He knew the righteous law of Yahweh. Man. He shall not live by bread alone. But every word that has been tried, the word of Yahweh, it's just like silver, tried 7 times in the furnace of fire. Every pure word of Yahweh, he knew. So he takes him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So all I want you to do is just bow down. Bow down. Can you imagine? Can you go somewhere? Can you imagine going on the Twin Towers to the zenith of one of those buildings? Or that Petros building there, and where is that? In Korea and Taiwan, the tallest building in the world. Can you imagine going there and you can see the whole city? You can see the whole, the higher you go, the more you see. You basically can see everything. So he took them in behind, but he showed them everything. Say, look at that. And all of them are like that. And they have great glory to them too. Look at me. You want it? Come on. Acknowledge me. Just do that. Come on, boy. Come on. Come on, I'll give you that. Come on. That's all you want? Come on. Look at the harem of women. Come on. All you want. Look at that. Look at that. Come on. Take it all. That's what he did. And that's what the enemy is offering. And so that's why they have those telegenic men like that, handsome and, what they call handsome and effeminate looking, and all their teeth are perfectly straight, and they're not going to have a gap like a Pastor Robin. Pretty teeth, and have their mouths cosmetically designed, their eyes cosmetically designed, and everything. They do that. You understand that? And hands are softer than a baby's tush. No count, nothing there. Don't even break a sweat. Of course, they're not going to get up here and sweat like me here. The climate is going to be perfectly controlled where they stand. Not one blade of hair is going to come out of place. Everything is going to be perfectly in play. True preacher. True. And then about to get that $2,000 silk suit all messed up. Elias, you better pray that Yahweh send you true men of Yahweh that are sincerely anointed of the Father. I want to close with this. Messiah says in Matithiah, listen to this, 10th chapter, verse 20. He said, for Matthew's 10:20, Matthithiah 10:20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He was conveying unto them, it's not you speaking when you set before bureaucrats and lawyers to try you. He said, but it's the Spirit of the Father. Is that what it says there? It says the Spirit of the Father in you that speaketh. Now how do you not give reverence unto the one that put the Spirit in you that calls you to speak his profound truth? He says in Yohanan 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or give life. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that's what we must begin to speak. The words that are spiritual. And that's how men are going to hear in these 6,000 different languages. They can hear the short wave or whatever is coming in. They will know what Yahweh is speaking. They will know that it is the truth, because men will speak by the Spirit and not by the natural tongue of man. We will speak by the Spirit. He says in the 16th chapter of Yohanan, verse 13, howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. We know that the righteousness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting. And we know that the law of Yahweh is truth. So the Spirit of Yahweh can never deny this. It can never desire the law of Yahweh. And if you have a spirit that denies this, you're of your father, the devil. It's not the Spirit of Yahweh. That's why men move in that lawless spirit. And I have a message. I'm going to preach on it. I want to do it today, but I just didn't sense that in my heart to preach it. There's a very lawless spirit in this land today. And the Spirit of Yahweh will not lead you outside the parameters of the law that He's written in your heart. First of all, in order for you to get any house stable, you must first of all bring about a law. Before any country is going to be stable, you must bring about a law. Before Iraq can ever be stable, you must establish the law first. You must establish the government, know who's in rule and who's in charge. With the way it is, there will never be a ruling power there. You must first of all establish the law. One thing that a father must always do, establish who's in authority. I'm in authority. And then from there, then you can administer the statutes and the commands in that house. But that must be established. And we must know the one that established the law. Messiah did not come to establish the law. The law was already established. He came to give us assurance of the hope of that law. That it will not condemn us or destroy us. We can find life in the same one that in the letter it destroyed many. That is the truth. We can find that. And that is the truth. I close with this. 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. Shaul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 2:12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. He said, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Yahweh. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of Yahweh. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the HaKadosh Ruah, the spirit of Yahweh, teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what the Spirit of Yahweh will do. When a man truly desires that, he's filled with the Spirit, he will know the things that are spiritual. That's why men can come and look at English or Mandarin, Chinese, and know what is spiritual. And they can sense the whole structure of the thing, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. We must be led by the Spirit. We must not led by the Spirit. We're not the sons of Yahweh. And the Spirit is not this crazy mess they call the Spirit. That's a false illusion. That's a spirit of shamanism, paganism. It is not the Spirit of Yahweh. Get upset with me, that's all right. I won't take it back. I won't take it back. Spiritual things are compared to the things of the Spirit. That's why Shaul says that when a man is spiritual, he judges all things, and no man discerned whether he's spiritual. Did they discern Messiah? No, they didn't. Because he was not even revealed unto him unless he revealed himself unto them. They didn't even know him. Even the apostles didn't know him when he got up out of the grave. They didn't know him. They didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. He met them, breathed on them, they received the Spirit, and then their eyes were open. And so he must open our eyes, saints. And he does that by truth, because Messiah is the truth of the Father. May Yahweh bless you, may give you great strength today, may cause your hearts to be encouraged. I do pray that. I want to read this before we dismiss. This is just 100 years ago in America. Just 100 years ago. That ain't long now. You figure Mother Miller, Mother Francis, all them, Hilda Martin, that's just 40 years before their life. Listen. Before they were born. Do you hear this? I want you to hear this. The average life expectancy in the U.S. was 47 years. Only 14% of the homes in the U.S. had bathtubs. That's 100 years ago. Only 8% of homes had a telephone. A 3-minute call from Denver to New York City costs $11. There were only 8,000 cars in the whole USA. And only 100, do you hear them? This is amazing here. Only 144 miles of paved road. Do you hear that? Oh man, before you were born, there weren't too many paved roads. Only 144 miles. They didn't grow too much before while he was born. That was just 100 years ago. Only 100. Do you hear that, saint? That's not even from here to Columbia and back. 144 miles of paved road. Only 144 miles of paved road. The maximum speed limit in the city now, driving a car, the maximum was 10 miles an hour. Alabama, Mississippi, Iowa, Tennessee were each more heavily populated than California. With a mere 1.4 million residents, California was only the 21st most populous state in the union. The tallest structure in the world was the Eiffel Tower. The average wage in the U.S., you all crying, the average wage 100 years ago, the average wage an hour, how much do you think it was? 22 cents an hour. I wish it was some of the professionals made. The average U.S. worker made between $200 and $400 per year. A competent accountant could expect to earn $2,000 per year. That's good gravy there. A dentist, $2,500 a year. A veterinarian, between $1,500 and $4,000 per year. A mechanical engineer, about $1,200 a year. More than 95% of all the births in the U.S. took place at home. 95% of all the children were born at home. 90% of all, do you hear this? 90%. 90% of all U.S. physicians had no college education. They didn't go to college. You see what the education has done? Cutting and destroying the old doctors back then. They kind of worked on vibes and just experience. And they had no education. But it says this. Instead, they attended medical school, many of which were condemned in the press and by the government as substandard. They just say, well, they don't come up to par. So they're not included in everything that they shouldn't. Sugar cost 4 cents a pound. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. Coffee was 15 cents a pound. You remember those days, old man? Most women only wash their hair once a month and use borax or egg yolk for shampoo. You hear that? Canada passed a law prohibiting poor people from entering the country for any reason. The five leading causes of death in the U.S. was pneumonia, emphysema, tuberculosis, diarrhea, heart disease, stroke. The American flag had 45 stars. Arizona, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Hawaii, and Alaska had not even been admitted to the Union yet. The population of Las Vegas, 100 years ago, 30 people. Crossword puzzles, canned beer, and iced tea had not been invented. Something else, I tell all you all this. This is what the pagans do. There was no Mother's Day or Father's Day. It wasn't even on the calendar. See, all this stuff is pagan. 2 of 10 U.S. adults, 2 of 10 U.S. adults couldn't even read or write. Only 6% of all Americans had graduated from high school. Marijuana, Mary Jane, marijuana, heroin, morphine were all available over the counter at corner drugstores. According to one pharmacist, heroin cleared the complexion. And it gave buoyancy to the mind, made you think better. And they were selling heroin. It regulates the stomach and bowels. And in a fact, a perfect guardian of health. See, they didn't do it with the form that men do it today, Saint. I believe it has its medicinal purposes. I really do. Marijuana and all of it. It's just what man has done with it. I believe it has its medicinal purposes. It says 18% of households in the U.S. had at least one full-time servant or domestic. In the whole United States, and this is tough, in the 100 years ago, do you know how many murders there were in the whole United States? 100 years ago. I'll tell you. How many do you think? Somebody give me a guess. What do you think it was? Come on, give me a number, somebody. 100 years ago, how many murders do you think it was? There were. Come on, Brittany. 10? Somebody else, come on. Come on, don't be scared. You're right or wrong. So what difference does it make? I'm going to tell you. How many? 100. Come on, anybody else? Five? Come on, old man. How many do you think it was, Elder? Murders in the whole United States 100 years ago. Yeah. None? Come on, anybody else? Come on, brother. What do you think? Two? You about like Sister Rob. Come on, Sister Les. How many? Come on. You Bible trivia, sister, huh? She almost hit it. 230. 230 murders in the whole United States. You got that many in the heart. 230. In the whole United States, 230 murders. That's, 230. Hallelujah, 230. May Yahweh bless you. Keep your hearts pure, sisters, your brothers and sisters. I say that again, you sisters too. You watch the way you dress around here too, the things you put on. And all things we bless in Messiah's name. Bless you all, saints. Be encouraged.